Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Dr. Siobhan Brown from UCC's Department of Folklore and Ethnology has been researching the flow of food and Christmas fare between Ireland and Britain from the 1940s to the 1960s. She's on the line to tell us more. Dr. Siobhan Brown, good afternoon.
Oliver, good to speak to you.
Likewise. Will you tell our listeners some of the kind of the food that the Irish households were sending to Irish family members who were in Britain during the 40s and right up until 20 years
sure.
after that?
Yes, indeed. We have a case, obviously, of the... the sound is quite bad here.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay. We have a case, obviously, we're thinking about food sending food parcels at the time, and one considered the sort of larger forces that were at play at the time. Now, the Irish in Britain who went in the 40s were living in a country that had food restrictions due to food rationing.
The rations, yeah.
And so, yes, indeed. So many Irish who were indeed suffering from food restrictions themselves continued to send parcels to their loved ones in Britain. And we have accounts, we'll say, from contributors to my own research that tell us about turkey and butter being sent in the 1940s for Christmas. And then also later, turkey being sent to family members who had set up home in Britain. And that was a really commonplace practice, Oliver.
Was it a normal thing to be sending parcels of meat in the post, or was it even unusual back then?
It wasn't normal and had become very normalised, and so much so that later on other initiatives were taken to help people with this initiative. But it was normalised in that everyone I spoke to in my research has memories of turkeys being sent from their home place in Ireland or to arriving at their home place in Britain, particularly in the 50s and the 60s.
So you're looking at the 50s and 60s. And there were other things as well, Christmas cake and drinks they would send to each other?
Yes, absolutely. There were a lot of the Christmas cake and puddings would have come later, possibly after food restrictions were lessened or lifted.
I see.
And they actually, in time, came to replace the sort of practice of sending turkeys. Turkeys were, as we've said previous to this, it was so normalised, so widespread, but it wasn't always... they didn't always arrive fresh, possibly, and maybe there were so many of them arriving that it was often not the ideal thing. But it's so in time with changes and with more availability of baking, items for baked goods. Families in Ireland started in the months leading into Christmas to prepare Christmas puddings, Christmas cakes, and send them to their loved ones overseas. Now, there are so many sensory memories that I have heard about associated with this sort of practice of baking, you know, getting ready to send them off to loved ones who lived away, and also then the subsequent receiving of these parcels in homes in Britain and sometimes further afield, because they were more conducive to sending than possibly a gift fowl, as we call it, or turkey.
Yeah.
And the post and other things, obviously, Oliver, as well. And sorry to cut across you.
No, not sure.
Things like green emeralds would have been quite common.
The emerald sweets,
The old emerald sweets, And and sometimes things were hidden in the carcass of the turkey as well, such as things that were still rationed in Britain, like butter. And
really?
I have heard of poutine, but whether that's actually...
You'd want a fair-sized turkey to hide a bottle of poutine in it, wouldn't you? But you could get the...
You surely would. You surely would. And that could be anecdotal now, but you surely would. Yeah, absolutely.
We'll take the anecdote.
But,
in the 40s and 50s, it was probably quite efficient because it was so many runs of post all during the day and multiple times a day that you might get your turkey fresh. But that it became less possible maybe into the 60s to get fresh meat.
Yes, absolutely, Oliver. See, the... At that time, it was different now. The postal system was actually very sophisticated. We yeah. had so much more movement of trains and mail boats back and forth. So it was actually feasible to send fresh food to Britain. That's why, again, going back to your previous question of how normalised was it? It was really normalised because it was actually an okay thing to do. Food would arrive fresh unless it got lost, which happened sometimes as well. And but the postal system was actually very up to speed and very sophisticated, and it made it a feasible option to send food, fresh food in the post. And we're going back to this idea, you know, of family obligation and family provisioning from afar, that the people whose loved ones lived away, they wanted to send them food, particularly during rationing, you know, and so that facilitated, as you said there, the movement of fresh food, maybe that would seem bizarre to us today, actually.
Absolutely, yeah, it wouldn't hit the standards. You know? The turkey we wrapped up in brown paper, you spoke to one postal worker, didn't you, that said they had a furnace lit in the in the post office for a very specific purpose.
Yes. So just staying on one moment on the type of packaging that was used.
Oh, yeah.
Again, there's a knowledge that we've lost around that sort of thing. So turkeys were sent with their innards inside them to maintain their freshness.
Very good.
Allegedly. And they were wrapped in newspaper or and then newspaper, greaseproof paper, newspaper, and then brown paper. But the packaging varied. People had their various theories on how to maintain the freshness. But one man I interviewed worked as a post office worker in a sorting office in London, and he told me that at Christmas the turkeys would arrive. And unfortunately, some of them, they arrived in such quantities, some of them had lost their labels. And he has told me that to this day, he remembers the smell of rotting turkey at Christmas time in the sorting office. And they actually had a furnace to dispose of the rotting turkey when that happened. So it really was a particular thing of the time, Oliver, you know, sending these turkeys and them arriving in abundance into post offices and then into Irish homes in Britain.
Would it have been cheaper for the family in England to have just bought a local turkey there? I mean, it must have been expensive.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Well, I suppose we're thinking back at the time as well. In the 1950s, just according to some government sources, in Britain, you could have bought a turkey for about one day's wages, the wages, say, of a labourer at the time.
Yeah.
Now, and that actually was an improvement because earlier in the 20th century, speaking of buying a turkey, it would have been about half the labourer's wages. So improved farming techniques post-war meant that turkeys were actually becoming more feasible and available to people. But even still, one day's wages was still quite a lot, you know. And it wasn't always about the practicality either. You know, there was a whole system in Ireland of raising turkeys and to sell to supplement the family income. And it was, you
particularly
know, what
for
we would
women,
call egg money,
it?
I suppose, Oliver.
Yeah, the egg
you know,
money.
And the supplementary income that kept the family afloat often. And the turkeys were often reared and sold, and the family would eat goose. But the turkey was just too much of a luxury to keep. So the whole act of sending a turkey then to a loved one away was just an amazing act of sacrifice.
It was a big present and had a huge emotional connection. If it
enormous,
made it.
Enormous, Oliver. And the thing is as well that we have to think about the time, you know, people had left in droves in the 40s and 50s and often were sending remittances back to Ireland, you know, to help with their families and help keep the family afloat. So this was like a reverse in kind type of remittance, people sending food, reaching into their family or loved ones' homes, you know, at Christmas time and maintaining that connection of maybe being symbolically present at the Christmas table of their loved one in another country.
We're getting some messages, Siobhan, on this very topic.
Yes.
Back in the late 70s, I worked in Sheriff Street sorting office at Christmas time.
Oh.
One parcel going to Birmingham featured a turkey with brown paper around the torso, but the head, wings and legs were sticking out of the parcel. That's in for
mentally. Oh, yes.
So they're going in all, they're arriving in the sorting office in all states. Another one, we had turkeys growing up. My mother sent them to relatives in different parts of Ireland and in Britain as well. The turkey was put into a farm meal bag tied with string and sealed with sealing wax. It all got there safely and in time for Christmas. Fair play to On Post. It was just normal at that time of the year, says Mary in Longford. So some of them really knew. There would have been great insulation in the brown and white paper in the meal bag.
And what we said previous to this, Oliver, is that there's a knowledge really, also going back to the women of the house at the time, an awful lot of them had a sort of knowledge that we don't really know about or have anymore, particularly with regard to poultry and all of those other techniques. So they probably knew what they were doing. They did their best to maintain the freshness. Now, obviously, they didn't always arrive fresh, but there was a knowledge there. It was based on reason, we'll say, the whole.
It was. And the weather
going
was,
back to the.
The weather is colder. Wasn't it? The weather was colder in those days in December than it was now.
Yes,
quite mild.
Yes, possibly. Possibly that too.
There's another one. Luke,
could be.
Luke also says, we have very strong memories of our turkey being sent up live, bound on the train, live and bound, I presume, on the train from Ballyhollis, County Mayo to Dublin, then delivered from the station out to my parents' home where my dad then did the business with the turkey. So not just posting to England, they were being transported live within the country.
Yes, gorgeous story as well, isn't it? It's an amazing to think back that was such a thing, and we're so removed from it now, actually. The turkey, as we've seen, would have been a luxury item, and it was considered to be a gift for an honoured, family member or friend, I suppose, at the time.
And I'm sure
it was customary.
In your research, you came across people just posting them within the country as well. Anne is on the line. She sent us in this message telling us her story. Good morning. Good afternoon, Anne.
Hello, Oliver. How are you?
How are you doing?
Hi, Anne.
I'm doing good.
Siobhan Brown, Dr. Siobhan Brown is on the line with you, Anne. Tell us your story. You have a memory of the turkey's been sent up to Dublin.
That's right. It's not my memory, but my dad's memory. When he was a boy, he lived in Whitehall in Dublin 9, a place called Gaeltacht Park. It was supposed to be a place of feeding Irish in Gaelgaord in
Very
Dublin.
Good.
And the family in Kilcock, ironically named, used to send up a turkey to Dublin every... I know it means Kilcock and not Kilcock, but there you go.
Okay, right, okay. They killed the cock and they sent the turkey up to Dublin.
They did. But one year, the turkey didn't arrive.
Oh.
And, kind of nobody wanted to mention the missing turkey, so nothing was said. And my grandmother purloined something else for the Christmas festive affair. But in the month of February, they got a call from the sorting office to say there was a package to be collected down Sheriff Street. And my aunt was dispatched out to see what all this was about. And lo and behold, it was the turkey. The turkey, instead of going to Whitehall in Dublin, had been on a little tour of government offices in Whitehall in London.
Whitehall in London.
And now, yes. And now was being dispatched in all its burlap wrapping to Dublin. So cold weather or not, it was manky.
It was in an awful state.
It was.
Yes.
So my aunt was on the bus and she said, God, I'm not bringing that with me. So she left it on the bus.
She left it on the bus.
And she was just walking off and the bus screeched to a halt. And the conductor, remember?
There would be two people on the bus,
Exactly. The conductor came running down and he said, hey, missus, you forgot your package.
Your putrid parcel, take it with you.
Exactly. So
thanks so much, Anne. Thanks a million.
Cheers.
That's
bye.
Great. Thanks so much, Anne. Oh, can you imagine the drippings of turkey out of a burlap sack
two months later?
Oh, my God. Before I let you go, Siobhan, the turkey lift was a very interesting thing, which was involving flights in Aer Lingus between Dublin and London.
Yeah, absolutely, Oliver. And again, I find this a very interesting one. Now, it has been written about in newspapers at the time, I think the Irish Independent, the Cork Examiner, and Stephanie Raines and Maynooth has written more about this. But I just find it a very interesting scheme because it tells us how normalised sending turkeys was. And at the time in the late 1940s, planes had The Irish in Britain had started to return to Ireland by plane. Some had.
Yeah.
And so Aer Lingus were left, obviously, with empty planes returning. So they decided to respond to the environment and offer a service to deliver turkeys to Britain with these empty planes. So the scheme developed and so on and so on. And it lasted for 15 years, actually, from about 1948 until about the early 60s. And eventually they offered a more door-to-door service, I think for about £1 to deliver your turkey from door to door. So again, it just tells us how entrenched and normalised this whole idea of sending turkeys really was. You know, the fact that even Aer Lingus thought, yes, this is something we can do. This is, you know.
Well, listen, it's fascinating. And there are more messages which will come to before the end of the show, hopefully. But in the meantime, thank you so much, Dr. Siobhan Brown from UCC's Department of Folklore and Ethnology, August Nullicona.
From the North Tech Studio, followed by your message to 80889.